So before we say the kinnis of the Baba Rabbi, Susi Lein of Rav Schwab, Zichri Tzad of Kodesh Levracha, about the Holocaust, about the Shoah, every year, this time, I tell you what my wife always has been saying these past years, so many years already, that it can't be that Mashiach will come and there won't be any remaining Sheres HaPleita to be a makabel panim. That it can't be. And you know, as long as my father was alive, I made believe in my head that there are many, 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 many more that are together with my father and my mother, that are going to greet Mashiach. But my father lived to an old age. He was very old, and the survivors are very old. Those survivors who are left in the world, and those who were children, like Rav Lau, those who were children, they don't remember as well at this point. And there aren't so many of them either. They should all live and be well. So I still believe that. So I saw a story. And it's not a story, an account. In a sefer about the Holocaust by Rav Tamir Granati, is a Hezder Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, by Choshev Yid. And he leads different groups to Europe. And he wrote a two-volume sefer that's very, very Choshev. Very, very Choshev. About his trips. I heard him speak once in Yeshiva. Choshev Yid, Talmud Chacham. And I read here an account that he heard from a Jew by the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bleigund, originally from Galicia, from Limanov, who was a survivor of Auschwitz. And Rav Granot met him in Ranana, in Eretz Yisrael in Ranana. He was interviewing different survivors, and he spoke to this Rav Yehuda in Ranana. I'll just translate what he said. It takes 2 or 3 minutes. This Rav Yehuda from Auschwitz, from Galicia, Auschwitz, Ranana, said that after the war, he met a Jew who was originally from Russia. A fellow survivor. And this Jew, Rabbi Yehuda said, grabbed him. Tafas oisi bebogdai. Tiltal oisi. He was shaking me. And he asked me, Tagidli, ma ata choshev? What do you think? Zeh sheata chai. That you're alive, that you survived. Zu hashgacha agayral. Do you think you believe in God and you believe in hashgacha pratis? You believe that the reason that you're alive is because Hashem singled you out from your family, whatever, and kept you alive? What do you believe is just fate, a coincidence? Ma ata oimer hashgacha pratis, a stomach re. So Yehuda says, Tsa'akdilov, I start to scream at this guy. Matarotsemimani, what do you want from me? He said, at that time he said, Nibachutsayir, I'm still a young man. Vani Raitzalahamin. I'm still a young man and I want to believe in Hashem. I want to believe. Maduatama Araras Amunishali, why are you trying to shake up my Amun and my faith? Like, you know, haven't we been through enough? Masha etzlecha, etzlecha. Whatever conclusions you came to, he said to this Russian, to this survivor, Masha etzlecha, etzlecha. But leave me alone. So Yehuda said that this guy that was shaking him let go of him, and he began to speak to him quietly. And he said, "Ein chomev, you don't understand. Ani ba'atzmi Yehudi shomer mitzvos. I myself am from. I'm shomer mitzvos. Makbid kalka chamura. I keep all of halacha. I'm mispal shalosh tefillos b'yayim, minyach tefillin. B'kitzur, Yehudi ne'eman. Daven, p'rat tefillin, b'kitzur, Yehudi ne'eman. I'm a faithful Jew." But I have to tell you something. So now this is the Russian fellow that's talking, who we thought was a koifer, and turns out to be a mamin, but a mamin who's older than the bacha that he was shaking. He says, "Kishayiti b'zmanim al-chama," at the time of the war, he said it was the beginning. There was a certain yid that I met, a chassid. And we sort of became friends, even though I wasn't from his background, but we became friends. And then I found out, you know, I didn't see him for a date, when I found out that he was taken by the Gestapo. And I went there to the Gestapo headquarters, which was itself, just to go there and to try to talk to them was Monsieur Snafish. So it was obviously he's not a plain guy. So he said, I went there to the office and I spoke to an officer who told me, after some other things, he told me that if you bring us a certain amount of money, we'll let your friend go. That Nazi saw it as a good opportunity to make a couple of dollars. So he said, the Russian Jew was telling this to Yehuda. So he said, I went out. Where are you going to get money over there? You know, people were so afraid. It was the beginning. They were hiding things. So I went around. I'm trying to raise for my friend some money. And I came, there was a place there where there were some Jews who were, not only that they weren't religious, they were mamish, like, you know, very, 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 very far from anything with Yiddishkeit. And they were hanging around, they were together, this chavra. And he said, I knew some of them. And I went over to them, and I said, Yidden, hakshiv, listen. There's a yid that was taken to the Gestapo, and maybe you have a couple of dollars, maybe you have some money that I could help have this try to pay the Nazi off. He said, these guys just looked at me, they started to laugh. I said to them, Yehudim, Yidin, this isn't anything to laugh about. One of our brothers, Echad me'achenu b'nei Yisrael, natun b'ma'asar. He's in jail by the Gestapo, and I need money to get him out. If each one of you would just give a little bit that you still have, a little bit of money to save this guy's life. So again, he says, "Hegivu b'tzchok gadol." They were laughing at me and making fun of me. And echad mehem amar, one of them got up and said, "Eze esek yeshli meze Yehudi. What do I have with your yid, with your Jew?" Tsa'akti aleihem. I yelled at them, Yehudim yidin, ein lechem rachmanis. Ein lechem yechelim lerachim al Yehudi. You don't have rachmanis on a Jew? They're going to kill him. So this guy got up again. One of the shechavah got up and said, he walked over to me, it karev elai. He walked over to me and he said, so now it's a story and a story and a story. Listen. It karev elayv amar. He came over to me and he said, Bo agid lo chamashu al rachmanis. You're talking about rachmanis. You're saying that we should have rachmanis on your friend. Let me tell you about rachmanis. He says, where he was before he came, was taken to this place. He was in a different town with the Germans. He ran to this place. He said, Pam achat halachti im biti atinok et berachov. And I was walking on the street. I was holding my baby girl. Ish Gestapo at Saroti. And the Gestapo stopped me and said to me, Jid, lana taholech. Where are you going? And he said, I don't know what got into me. But I said to the Nazi, La'an shaholchim. I'm going where people go. So the Nazi went out of his kelim, of course. He went out of his kelim. He started to yell, Atam et chatzef, you're a mochutzef. And I said to the Nazi, Gamani ben Adam. I'm also a human being. And I have my own life. I told the Nazi like this. He said, then the German went, Mamish Meshuga. The Tzarkalai, and he said, Achshav, now you're going to see Imesh Lukachayim. You're going to see if you want to live. He grabbed the baby from my arms. He took the baby like a chicken by the feet, and he swung my baby daughter against the wall. And I saw her brain spilling out. My baby daughter. So then this Jew turned to me and said, Yesh boilem azeh rachmanis. You're asking that we should have rachmanis on your friend. Yesh boilem azeh rachmanis. This is a world of rachmanis. There's compassion in this world. Rachmanis. Amat amadaber. What are you talking about, rachmanis? So remember, the Russian Jew was telling Yehuda this story. Hayudi, this Yid, this Russian, Hifsik Eshetef Sipuro. This is the Jew that was shaking him. And he asked him, do you believe that you were chosen to survive? Or do you think that it's just done? And he's a frum guy. Hayudi, he said, stopped his story. It was a Hesha Mabat Alenai, and he looked at me in the eyes. And he said to me the following. Atamevin Bocher. Sir Bocher, do you understand? Hatmuna hazu einena ezevasosi. This picture that I have. What that Jew told me over there in the ghetto. This picture that I have of the Nazi taking his baby and swing her against the wall, and the father watching the brains spill all over the place. This picture, a nena ozevis osi. I can't get over this picture. It doesn't leave me. Hamilim shlo enin yotzis mitach reishi. And the words that he said to me, is there rachmanis in this world? I can't get those words out of my head. Amarti lucha. And the Russian said to Yehuda, Ani Yehudi dati. I am an observant Jew. Shema mitzvahs. Menech tefillin b'chol yom. Mevarech brachas. Shofar lulav. I'm on the program. Aval bocha. Hakshev li. But bocha, listen to me. Me'az מאז אותו רגע ששמעתי את סיפורו של היהודי, from that moment that I heard that Jew tell me about his baby, לשום דבר אין עוד טעם. לשום דבר אין עוד טעם. Nothing in my life has a taste. I put on film. I daven. I'm religious. But l'shum dover ein od tam. The tefillin ein tam. The tzitzis ein tam. Hakol bli tam. Nothing in my life has a taste anymore. Hakol bli tam. So I read this. Here Rav Granat is talking about how survivors tried to forget and they couldn't forget. That's what the chapter is about. He said these things when he came to Treblinka. I was never at Treblinka. So it reminded me, first of all, in the Kinnis we said, in the Yud Zayin, but it's in Medrash Eicha. In Medrash Eicha, it says that after the Mered of Besar, after the Mered, the rebellion in Beitar, Kiva Bakochba, the whole Mered of Beitar, after that rebellion, the uprising in Beitar, you remember how Chazal tells, the Gemara says, and the Medrash, it's even more graphic, how the streets of Beitar were flowing with blood like rivers, right? Like a river. So Takana from the Mesim of Beitar that were piled up like walls around the city. Bodies. So the Medrash in Eicha says, Sholosh meyos moiche tinoikes nimtzu al evan achas. That when the Jews tried to go back into their homes, they found a big boulder, a flat rock, and they found over there 300 heads of babies with their brains spilling out. 300 heads of babies. Al Evan Achas. One of the grandchildren of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel survived the slaughter, the massacre of Beitar. And he describes in the Medrash how the Romans took 300 tinoikos of Beis Rabbah, 300 children from Cheder. And Karachul kol echad ve'echad b'sifra, they used to learn from scrolls, from Megillas. And how the Romans took these children and took each child and wrapped each child in his scroll. The sorrowful Isam, and they set them on fire. V'lanishtari mehem ela ani. And I am the only child left from those children. I survived. And the Medrash says that he described himself with a pasuk that is in Eich in the third parak, pasuk Nun Aleph, with the words of the pasuk of Yirmiyo, "Eini oilel olanavshi mikol b'nei siri." My eyes have brought me grief from all of the children of my city. My eyes have brought me grief. My eyes have brought me grief. Eini oilelo lenafshi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's grandson was saying that. He was saying, I saw things with my eyes. You look at me now, I'm like a regular kid. I go to learn, I play ball, I have friends, I have lollipop, I eat candy. But my eyes saw So this child would grow up, and he would see many things in life. He would see the rebuilding of Bati Midrashas. He would see Jewish life beginning to thrive again in the yeshivas. He would get married, he would see children and grandchildren. But I wonder if after what he saw with his eyes, I've thought about this my whole life. I wonder if anything in his life had a taste anymore. I wonder if he was able to have a time. When a person sees such things, when a person survives such things, it's not only that the Rishoyim took away his parents, his grandparents, his brothers, his sisters, his friends. There's something that you and I can't possibly understand. The Rishoyim also took away from them a ta'am, a taste of life. Because of what their eyes had seen. I used to look into my father's eyes a lot. Because my father spoke very little, and you know that. Some of you used to try to get some words out of him. You know, it wasn't so pashut. And it was the same with me. It wasn't because he didn't like you or anything like that. He just didn't talk much. And I would look at his eyes. I would watch him when he was saying tilim, when he was benching. When he was learning. Sometimes just when others were talking. The grandchildren were there. It was a simcha, a great-grandchildren. We made him some sort of a birthday party, which he didn't believe in birthdays. He said it's not for Jews. And he would just come and he would say, okay, so what are you supposed to do now? Something like that. We would ask him, Daddy, how you feeling? He would say, I feel so good. I feel like when I was 94, I feel so good. But especially before he was Nifter, I spent a lot of time sitting with him. And then Yimamish didn't talk. Because it was come out impossible for him to say anything. And I would look into his eyes. His eyes were bluish gray. His eyes were so kind, they were so good. I spent my whole life seeing so much love in those eyes. And I told you, and I'm not ashamed, you have ever in my life told me I love you. I never heard those words in my life coming from him. But they were oozing from his eyes. Even to the last day, when he already, months before, he didn't allow anybody to touch him with a shaver. He already had a long gray beard. He sat there, he could barely talk, and he had this tube and that thing. And I would put one of the children, I'd bring in one of the great-grandchildren, and they were a little bit afraid. They didn't recognize him so much, the way he looked. And this time, you know how little children get nervous with old people. They're not so used to seeing old people. When I was growing up, we saw old people. And I realized that since the time that I was myself a child, and maybe from the time that I was myself sitting on his lap, I would look at his eyes. And from the time that I began to understand something of what he went through, I would wonder what his eyes saw. So we had the great pleasure, some of the chevre, we went last year to Hungary. Well, now it's the Ukraine, but it was Hungary. We went back there and we saw some of the things that my father's eyes saw. And my father's chavrusa, Jeff's father, things that their eyes saw. We saw the shul. We saw the river, you remember? It's a beautiful place, Lamaisa. We didn't see Jews being shot and thrown into the river. We saw people walking. We saw the Bissa Medrash. We ate lunch in the Bissa Medrash. Little Babacha. Bissa Medrash, you remember? Along the river, we did a little bit of a rikud. Went to the cemetery. We davened a little bit by the Kinshuch Naruch, who's buried there. We my son, my Shazelik, found my father's grandfather's grave, the only grave of the family. We were able to daven there a little bit and to tell him that we're still here. We keep mitzvahs. But I used to look and wonder, especially at the end, when all the children and grandchildren were laughing and telling stories and singing songs and making jokes around my father. And I realized that all of the years, he never really was there. I can't really remember a time that he just laughed. He would smile, it was mostly to make us smile. Or he would look at us and we were laughing, so he would smile. Every now and then I would try to tell him a funny joke. There was a certain kind of joke he liked. He liked Polish jokes a little bit. Because he knew Polish people. He knew Polish people. He used to say to me, it's not so right, it's not so far. But it was never a Herziger laugh, you know what I mean? Not like we laugh. And so many times, I remember, I only remember this at the end, but so many times that there were things going on, even by a chasn, even by a simcha. And I would talk to him, I would say, you know, people come and say to Mazel Tov, Mr. Weinberger, Mazel Tov. And I wonder now whether or not he really was able to have a tam. Because his eyes saw so many things. And I'm sure there was only a little bit of those things that he saw that he told me about. The things that he told me about have kept me awake my whole life. But his eyes saw. Do I know, my mother, what her eyes have seen? Do I know she was in Auschwitz? She was 14 years old, 15 years old. She never spoke about anything. Do I know what her eyes saw? She has such beautiful eyes. When you hear people talking about how you have to forgive the Rishon for taking away our families, I can't forgive them for that. I don't want to forgive them for that. And then it's not just they took away our families, but even from those who we were blessed to have. Those who survived, they took away their time, their taste. They would humor us, they would make believe that they were completely with us. I have had the schus to look into the beautiful eyes. We're going to read in 5 minutes. We're going to say the keen of the Baba Rebbe. You ever had the schus to look into his eyes? This was just last week. You know, it was the yard sign. You know, you all know what he looked like. Those who are older were zeicher to see him. They were able to face him. I was zeicher many times. And those who didn't, you all have seen pictures of him. There's a beautiful picture that's going around that I had never seen before. It's at a simcha, and the Baba Rebbe, did you see this picture? The Baba Rebbe sitting with, looks like a great-granddaughter. You don't have any pictures of rebbes with girls, right? Think about it. There's a great-granddaughter. Look at the Rebbe, how he's looking at her. You ever see such love in your life? In someone's eyes. Do you know what his eyes saw? So did the Rebbe have a time? The Klausenberger, the Tzaddikim, that I was able to see and to look into their eyes. So I want to end the keenness for now. We don't end keenness until Mashiach will come and keenness will finish. With two bakashas. Since we were talking about demanding. And the Jew has to have such a chutzpah. And Hashem Yisbarach wants us to be mechutzaf. We said a few minutes ago in Chav Ches, the 28th kina, we said, Eich tenachamuni heaven. See, here's my first request. I hope you'll join me. Eich Nachmoni Hevel, that we read a few minutes ago, which is based upon Medrash Eich and Psikta Rav Kahana. In English, it means, how can you offer me empty consolations? Eich Nachmoni Hevel. The Medrash says that the Ovis, Hashem brought the Ovis up from the dead. And the Ovis are going to come to, and the Ovis come to try to give Nechama to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim means to, not to the stones of Yerushalayim, to the Jews. To the Jews, to the survivors. And the survivors of Yerushalayim, of the Chorban, are not Makalb and Nechama, Tanchum. And then the Nevi'im come up from the dead. Hashem brings them up. And the survivors of the Churban are not consoled. Eich tenachamuni hevel. How can you console me with your empty consolations? And they say about each one, you and you and you, how could you give me the Chum and so on? Just the Medrash goes into. Yelach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Atzlo. V'yem Abiti Kol Kas Zeloma. Hashem goes to Yerushalayim. Hashem goes to the survivors of whatever churban it's been. And it doesn't have to be such a churban like the Holocaust or the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Hashem asks, Kol Kas Zeloma. Why are you so angry? Hashem asks, why are you not accepting Nechama? I sent the Ovis, I sent the Nevi'im. Vihi Omeris Lefanov. It's not in the past tense. Vihi Omeris Lefanov. The survivors say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, V'lo B'din Echais, I don't have the right to be angry. What am I? What I'm doing? My anger is shaloika halacha. Shigli sani ben ha'umais, that you sent us among the nations who hate us. Kilatani Klolus rose, and you yourself cursed us in the Torah. The Kisi Achanasu Panai Kishulek Deiran, I've been beaten to the point that my face is black like the bottom of a pot. With all that you did to me, you're telling me you don't forgive me that I should be angry. So then the Medrash says, because Baruch reminds Yerushalayim, reminds us about that. Listen, you did certain averus, you did this averus, you did that averus. You know, there are averus. Kosh Baruch is not a vatran, there are averus, there's a cheshman. I'm Eris Lefonov. She doesn't back off, Yerushalayim. The survivor doesn't back off. Rabbi Yerushalayim. Once you sent me out, once you sent me among the nations of the world, bidinhu, the halacha really is, b'emes is, bidinhu, shalayash m'shabes, I shouldn't keep Shabbos anymore. V'kayim mitzvah shalchan, I shouldn't go on keeping your mitzvahs. Chutzpah. Omer la. Now, that would be a Rebbe, a boss of Adam, would be me or you. You'd give patch, right? I'm a lot of Baruch Shalom says, B.T. Hiki is Marech Ligo. You're right. The time has come for redemption. You're right. The survivors was too nice. They didn't say this. And Shem Zibor says, "Biti gears baruch ligoel." She's not finished with Hashem. Yerushalayim, the survivor. Miyad emeres lefonav. Listen to what the survivor says. Listen to what Yerushalayim. Listen to what my father says. Listen to what the survivors say. My mother, your grandparents, great-grandparents, listen to what they say. Rebbein Shalom, Eini misnachemes, Achetireini, Le'enai, Ba'ois, and Harishayim, Shitzaruni, V'charfu, Shemecha. Rebbein Shalom, I'm not letting you off so easy. Oh, no. We're not just having some big gula party. We're not just having a whole nice thing, a new building, Chanukah Sabayis, a dedication. Back to Yerushalayim. No. I'm not misnachemes. I will not be consoled until you show my eyes, until I see with my eyes, the same eyes that saw all the other stuff, until I see with my eyes, Oysed Arishoyim Shitzaruni, forgiveness, until I see with my eyes, those Rishoyim that did this to me. To see you on the Kama for those Rishoyim that did this to me. That killed everybody and that took away my tam. That even when I lived another 70 years, there's still not tam without a taste. It's the whole Jewish people. My eyes. And not only did they were mitzaren me, they were mecharevs, they were blaspheming your name. They were mechal shem shemayim. They're making fun of you, that we're your people, and look what they did to us. They're making fun of you. Miad oimela. Hashem says immediately to the survivor, Biti, my child, my daughter, like the little girl that was smashed against the wall. Biti, my daughter, Chayech, ani mevi oisam, v'nifrem ehem b'fanecha.
Hashem says, I'm going to bring them before you, and I'm going to pay them back before your eyes. Ve'oz enachem, as it says at the end of the Kina, and then Yerushalayim will be comforted. So, Chevra, that's the first request. The request that was scratched on the wall in blood by one of the Jews who was killed there, Nekama. The words that it says, well, now they're fixing up in the kosel inside. That Hashem should take Nekama, Lahineinu, Isdam Nikmas, Davadecha, Lahineinu, before our eyes. You remember I told you once that I was davening there inside by the Kaisel, and they had some of you, now they were not, they're doing a lot of work there, but they had on the wall at the end, they had the Pasuk, Yimkrem Le'einenu Nikmas Dam Avdecha Shofuch. They had on the wall there. And I told you once that there was a German group of tourists. And they had a tour guide that was talking to them in German about the what they were seeing. And I was davening nearby, and I was standing up to walk around. I want to hear German over there from all the Aryans. And one of the Germans was pointing to the tourist was pointing to the wall, and he asked the guide, what does it say there? And the guide said, I don't know, let's ask this rabbi. Because I was thinking of the beard, let's ask the rabbi. So he asked me, what does it say on the wall? And I had 50 of these Aryans standing around me. All the children, the Einiklach from Mi Yodei Ami. And there were a few other Yerushalmi standing there. They didn't know what was going on. And the tour guide asked me what it says over there. And I said, you want it? I'll read it to you. He said, please do. I said, it says here that God is going to take revenge before our eyes of every single drop of Jewish blood that was ever spilled. God is going to take revenge against those who spilled Jewish blood. And it was quiet. And then he just said, okay, moving on to the... Let's move on. So that's the first thing, Chav. It's kumtz. We're allowed to. Not only are we allowed to. The same way we should be teveya, the Beis HaMikdash. We should be teveya as dam of a derech hashav. We should be teveya. Nekama. Nekama, nekama. Nekama comes when there's nekama. Why? What does it mean, nekama? I've given shiur about it. It's not time for learning now. The whole sugya. It's a mid elokis nekama. Kel nekama is Hashem, kel nekama is Sefiya. It's a mid elokis. So that's Aleph. Davar Melech, the Al Naharis Bavel, which I'm sure every one of you has said, by the Sudam of Sekis, says the Al Naharis Bavel, Sham Yashavna Gambachinu. So let's translate for the Germans the end of that capital. And that's Shem Alice. Do you know the end? I'll share it with you. Just to remind you. Basbovel Ashaduda. You Basbovel, you Nazi, you predator. Ashrei, she is loch is gmulach, she is shalmin loch, sorry. She is shalmin loch is gmulach, she gemalt lonu. Oh, you, fortune is the one who's going to pay back and give to you what you gave to us, that you inflicted upon us. Ashrei, here it comes. Fortune will be the one who will be able to take your baby and smash his head against the wall. David Melch said that. I didn't say that. David Melch was a nice person. I don't know if it means physically, how, what, and it's already totally politically incorrect, and you know, I'm always very nervous about political correctness. That's the first thing we're asking for. Nekama, when there's nekama, there'll be nechama. Comes together. And the second thing is, I want to go back for 1 minute to the Bava Rebbe's eyes. And this is also a tefillah that I want to end kinnis with for now. The second bakasha. So this was on the cover of Mishpacha magazine by the Rebbe's Yahrzeit, which was July 22nd, Rosh Chodesh Av was the Rebbe's Yahrzeit. Same Yahrzeit as Aaron HaKohen. That's what he was like. And Yisrael Besser, Shuli Besser, wrote an article. His grandfather, Reb Chaskel, was a very famous Askin, a very choshev yid, very, very deep and interesting person, a survivor. And the article here, it's called Velvet and Steel, because that was the Rebbe. Velvet, soft and gentle, soft, steel. And he wrote an article. Mostly he was talking to things that he remembers that he heard from his grandfather, Reb Chaskel. So listen to the end. That's near the end of the article. Some of you might have read it. I'm just going to remind you. Yisrael Besser said that he met a choshev mechanech, somebody who was a rabbi for many, many years in yeshiva. Someplace, I think, here in America. I mean, he's in Canada, maybe here in America, I don't know. But he met him, and he was talking to this mechanech. And this mechanech told Yisrael Besser that when he was a teenager, he learned in a prestigious Litvish yeshiva. But his father was close to Babov. And his father wanted him to come with him and spend the Shabbos in Borough Park in Babov. And he said that he was astounded by what he saw. The standard of living seemed to be beyond anything he'd seen elsewhere. The homes of the Chassidim were opulent. The cars shiny and long, clothing expensive and fashionable. And he said it was confusing to him as a yeshiva bacher, the product of a yeshiva that preached austerity. You know, he was in a Musi yeshiva, and they were preaching austerity. That warned of engagement with the pleasures of this world. All he was learning in yeshiva is that the world is evil. I mean, the pleasures of the world are bad. Don't enjoy yourself. You're not allowed to enjoy yourself. A Jew's not allowed to have pleasure in this world. He's not allowed to have a time of this world. So he found the Shabbos, this mechanech told Yisrael Besser, he found the Shabbos very inspiring, the davening, the tefillahs, elevating, but the lifestyle bothered him. On Sunday morning, his father took him to Gesegenzich to say goodbye, to part from the Rebbe. You don't go away without saying goodbye to the tzaddik and getting a bracha. He went to part from the Rebbe. They received their brachas, and the Rebbe looked at him. And the Rebbe asked him, he said, when he was a bracha, the Rebbe asked him, did you enjoy Shabbos with us? He asked the bracha. Yes, the bracha conceded. He said, I conceded. It had been very special. But then he told the truth. There was something, he said, that he couldn't reconcile. Isn't Chassidus meant to be about piety and holiness, simplicity and self-denial? I saw how people live here in Borough Park in the Chassidus, and I don't understand it. No, the chandeliers, the cars, the velvety couches, ours had plastic on it. I saw how people live here, and I don't understand it, he said to the Rebbe.
The Bava Rebbe looked at the teenage Bacher for a minute, not speaking. Then he closed his eyes and thought. Finally, he spoke. He said four words. Ich verstehe es ja. I don't have to translate. I do understand it. Ich verstehe es ja. I do understand it. That's all he said. And then Shuli Besser wrote, listen to this. Perhaps as he'd sat there with his eyes closed, the Rebbe had gone back and seen in that minute when he was quiet with his eyes closed, when this American Bacher was asking him, hey, how come these Jews like to live it up, you know? Not supposed to have pleasures in this world. Perhaps as he sat there with his eyes closed, the Rebbe had gone back and seen the emaciated faces lining the streets in the Bachnia ghetto, desperate for a crust of bread. Perhaps he was remembering the questions of those going to hide in underground bunkers. Should they risk taking the children who might cry out and alert the Nazis? Perhaps he was remembering the clubs of the soldiers in Lvov, the beatings that never really stopped. And against that backdrop, for he, all the things that we're going to now read from the Bava Rebbe in the Kinnah, that his eyes saw. And against that backdrop, he saw homes, comfortable, safe homes, where Yidden could celebrate Shabbos together. And he understood, Ich verstehe es ja. For the Bacher would serve as an approach shaping an illustrious chinuch career. You can't help people if you don't know where they're coming from. The Bava Rebbe heard his people. He heard them when they spoke, and he also heard them when they didn't speak. So those are the eyes of the Rebbe, Zechor Levracha, my father, Zechor Levracha. Those are the eyes. So the second bakasha is, the first bakasha is nekama. Nekama. The second bakasha is until that day, it should be soon, that the Baruch Shalom should give only good to each and every one of us. That the Baruch Shalom should help. Our generation is after that happened. And I know there's a lot of fun that I make and we all make, and there's a lot of things that are wrong with how silly we get with things of this world that we become involved in. I had Nechom when I read this from the Rebbe. I don't consider myself to be a Magushim. But what the Rebbe was saying is that, Rebbe Shalom, your people have gone through so many Tisha B'Av and so many Kinnison and so much suffering and have seen such horrible things, have seen such horrible, terrible, terrible things that we're now going to read about in thousands of years. And the Rebbe said, I understand that Jews should have a good life. It should be good. So the Pokosh is that all who are sick should be healed. All who are single should get married. All who are married should have good, healthy children to keep Torah mitzvot. All the children who are hurt, the children should be healed. It should be whole. And that we shouldn't have to see anything anymore with our eyes except simchas. That we should be able to be again by real simchas. Simchas. Yeah, the simchas we know, we now look back and we say they're talking silly. Like, what do you have to have? 25-piece band and 4,000 people, you know, in some hall with food coming out of everybody's noses and ears. But the Rebbe said, it's been so long and Jews have been hurt so badly. So what? They want to have a good life. So should Tagge be good? That we should be Zoichim, Mitzvah Shem, to see Nechamah, see Yerushalayim. And to see all of those who saw terrible things with their eyes, that they should be, if they're still here, they should be zeichet to see it. It should be tomorrow. And if they were taken already from us, they should be brought back from the dead, and they should be zeichet to see Hashem take nekama and to give nekama with the nekama of seeing Yerushalayim, the blessed of Amitis, and Hebe, Amen.